This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and very happy to be on the air tonight. It's been a very exciting time behind the scenes, I have to say, if you consider controversy exciting, I guess. But at any rate, we have a lot going on. As people that are paying attention to our website will be aware, Bill Ryan, my partner in Project Camelot, has released a very interesting interview called The Rulers of the World with an individual who considers himself a spokesperson at this point, I believe, for the supposed 33 people that rule the world. And that's what we've been told. I don't have any way of verifying whether or not that's actually true. But it certainly is tantalizing information, and the interview is well worth watching. Very interesting dialogue going on between Bill and Charles is the pseudonym that he's using. So I encourage everyone to listen to that. It's actually on projectavalon.net, which you can get to through the Project Camelot portal. You just click on the picture of the interview that you see there. At the same time, I wrote a very long sort of expose on various points covered in this interview, and I encourage you to read that as well. And that has gone out to many, many people at this point. I spent quite a long time reviewing what was covered and what was not covered, which is more to the point in that interview. And unfortunately, I wasn't there to sort of get some of the hard questions answered. But at any rate, it is a start in a dialogue with these individuals, if they are who they say they are. And the other thing is that I encourage you to form your own opinions, of course. There's a question-answer column going on the Avalon Forum, the Camelot Forum, and the Avalon Forum. Both have threads that are covering this, where people are voicing their opinions, voicing their questions, their thoughts. I'm hoping there will be an interview in the near future, actually by me, but with Bill Ryan, to cover some of the things that apparently were not covered in this interview, and maybe even another interview at some point in which perhaps I will be a part of, if that is meant to happen. So there's a lot going on in that respect. We've got Dr. Bill Deagle at the last half hour, and he will be giving us an update on some of the things that are going on behind the scenes, not only on the planet, but in the White House. We've got a lot of rumblings that there is some kind of reshuffling occurring surrounding the bankruptcy situation of the U.S., the pressure on China regarding the dollar, and so on. So I'm not sure how much of that we can cover in a half hour, but we'll do our best and at least open the door into that subject matter. And then, of course, we have the dead birds that are dying in various places. I'm told it's more than one place, okay, by my whistleblower. But I do understand the Arkansas story seems to be dominating the news. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Temporal Recon, his name, and he's actually going by the name Anonymous as well. And he's a fascinating guest. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL advanced motorcycle oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get free of harmful chemicals in your lawn, garden, or farm. Use the products proven to work and restore vigor to your important food crops. Increase hay yields, as well as oils in seeds and grain. Check out AgGrand Natural Organic Fertilizers on our website, liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Learn how AgGrand's liquid organic fertilizers reduce costs while increasing yields. The products work great as a foliar feed and help offset problems caused by poor soil conditions. Call us at 1-800-579-0580 for more info. Converting to organic is fun and easy and is the best choice for your heirloom seeds. Take advantage of our liquid lime, sulfate of potash with kelp, liquid bone meal, and the menhaden fish 433 loaded with micronutrients. If you want better tomatoes, visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That is liquidorganicfertilizer.com for your garden, lawn, and farm.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekday. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Okay, this is Terry Cassidy, Roger Campbell, Whistleblower Radio, and I am very pleased to welcome Temporal Recon, and hopefully we won't have any background noise here going on, because I think we have somebody with their mic open, but at any rate, Temporal Recon, he is also going by the name of Anonymous, as the author of a very interesting book on John Titor. And I call him John Titor. I understand, briefly having talked to Temporal Recon, which is a very cool moniker also, that it's actually John Titor, which is possible. That's all cool. The name of the book is Conviction of a Time Traveler, the first credible investigation of John Titor. Anonymous is the name of the book, and the link is on our website on the front page of projectcamelot.org for anyone who's listening to the show. And I encourage you to take a look at his Facebook page, and you know, we can purchase the book. It's actually very well written, and it's fascinating. And I happen to be a fan of the John Titor story way back when, and so of course when I saw this guy come online and get in touch with me, I was very happy to hear that there was someone out there who was pursuing this story even to this day. So, how you doing there?
Hey, how are you? I'm really glad to be here, and I'm doing really good tonight. I appreciate the invitation to come on. I really do, and talk about John a bit.
Wonderful. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to have some people online who are just, you know, really great old fans of that time travel story or not. And so what we're going to have to do is give a bit of an introduction to the whole world and,
sure.
And
yeah.
We can go from there. So, So the stage is yours.
Ah, well, thanks. Well, I'll tell you what, the first time that we more or less saw John Titor, a man came online and started posting in various internet forums back in 2000, the end of 2000, basically saying, I'm a time traveler, I'm from Florida, from 2036, and I'll answer any questions you have. And over the following 6 months or so, people went back and forth and corresponded with him and posted online in various internet forums, asking him questions, arguing with him, arguing amongst themselves as to the veracity of what he was saying. And then towards the end, in March of 01, he said, well, look, you know, my time here is up. I've got to go. And that was it. He disappeared in March 01 and hasn't really been back since, and really has basically, as far as we know, and obviously my investigation is still ongoing, he went home back to 2036. That's supposedly what happened. Now, while he was posting online, he said he mentioned several different things, which obviously I detail in the book. And, you know, one was obviously the breakup of the United States, the second American Civil War, a nuclear strike by Russia on Europe, China, and the United States, and basically a time I really don't want to use biblical terms, but a tribulation, you know, the world goes through in, you know, 2015 when Russia launches their nuclear strike. And even John himself said, hey, you know, it was touch and go there for a while, but things are actually really nice on the other side, so to speak, on the other side of that nuclear strike. And, you know, I was talking to some friends of mine about this because obviously the people who are close to me know obviously that I wrote the book and I've been working on this project for a while. And, they, you know, they tell me, oh, you know, if a nuclear strike is happening, you know, totally hopeless and there's nothing really, you know, you can't survive a nuclear strike and I'd rather be dead anyway. And it's all hopeless. And quite frankly, the Titor story for me, and I always say Titor, I don't know. I have no idea how John Titor's name was started being pronounced Teeter, but, it really isn't that important. Anyway, John Titor's story to me is one of hope. And you know, yes, things are coming and things are going to be changing, but not necessarily, you know, for the worse. Now, obviously.
I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I can't help it. I just got, you know, I've got a lot of questions and
sure,
you know,
please.
I've been reading your book and I have to say, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that John Titor, and the reason we call him Titor is because he actually went on coast to coast. Now, I could be wrong, but I thought he did. I thought he talked to Art Bell.
Okay, yes. Now, you're close to being right. There have been any number of wannabes, you know, people posing as John, coming up online or calling into the Art Bell show, et cetera, et cetera. But obviously, John left behind a couple of ways to be able to test to make sure if this was really him or not. Now, yes, he was present on our timeline, on our world line, as early as 1998. And that was when, and for anybody who knows the story, in 1998, Art Bell received two faxes, one in, I forget the month, but two faxes in two different months. One was in October, November, another one was in maybe April, May, along those lines. It doesn't matter. In two different months in 1998. Basically saying, I'm a time traveler from 2036. Here's a couple of things that are coming your way. You know, let's say Taiwan gets re-annexed, Israel in the largest fight for its life, et cetera, et cetera. And, that is when the name John Titor first entered our lexicon. But nobody obviously paid any attention to it because, you know, Art Bell, if you remember, had a time traveler phone in line. You know, anybody who says they're a time traveler, call in, you know, and this was part of the argument I made in the book, is that in 2000 or even 1998, you know, John was making all these predictions, but there's no perspective there. You know, yes, you know, everybody's making all these predictions, but you don't really know whether these predictions are going to come true or not, and you have no basis for whether this person is being truthful until the future arrives, so to speak.
Right, and so here we are in 2011, and you've written your book, I assume, over the last year. So you actually were looking at things unfold and maybe saying, there's more and more things that he mentioned that are now, and you substantiate this very nicely in the book, that are now coming to the fore.
Yeah, honestly, the book was written as a mistake, or almost accidentally. It really just started off as an email to a friend of mine, and this email kept getting longer and longer and longer. What happened was that, you know, I was going through the Titer posts maybe last year sometime. You know, I had heard of John Titer, and, you know, 5, 7, 10 years ago, whatever, but obviously, like everybody else, I wrote him off as a crank, you know, oh, just another guy claiming to be a time traveler, blah, blah, et cetera, you know. But here we are 10 years later, obviously this is 2010, here we are 20 years later, and I just ran across the Titer postings again, and, you know, let me take a look at this again, you know, just for fun. And what really grabbed my attention was his identification of Project Ginger as being the Segway, or I'll say the way he said it, a type of motorized scooter. And I specifically remember, you know, the Project Ginger viral marketing campaign in 99 and 2000, you know, months and a year before the Segway was ever introduced. And that really caught my attention. So I started looking closer and closer to these posts and finding more and more things. And what was really incredible was that John left behind, just in his normal posts, in his normal interactions, just throwaway lines, throwaway little breadcrumbs of information that nobody ever really followed up on. And so when I wrote my email to my friend, I said, hey, you know, I think this John Titer guy, there's something to him. And my friend, who I identify in the book as SF in the acknowledgments, he blew it off. And this is a man that I know, trust with my life and respect. And he had fallen into the same trap that everybody else, I won't say everybody, but a great deal of people in the world. And that's basically believing these debunkers, these people that are so vehemently against John Titer being true, that you tell a lie long enough, or you tell a belief long enough, and then it kind of becomes true or accepted as truth. And so when I started looking into it, the email just became longer and longer. You know, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And pretty soon, an email was just not the right forum to give him this information.
Yeah, well, and I think that's great the way that emerged. One of the things that I think is very tantalizing is the IBM, I don't know, is it called 510?
The 5100, right, the 5100, right.
Yeah, now, and I think that tidbit is, and I think it will interest our listeners very much if you kind of drill down
sure.
to that particular little story, because I think that holds a kernel of what's going on. But I do want to say right here now, that I don't know, you know, what was going on then, but I actually heard John Titer or Titor, and I believed he was real, and I was online on a number of I don't know if there were forums or what the situation was, but I followed the story back then,
mm-hmm.
and I also got involved with an individual who said he knew him. So I do want to throw that out, and then I want to talk about that person and some of the background there at some point during this little interview here.
Sure.
So so you are talking to sort of a Titer enthusiast, if you will.
And, that's great. I love it.
Yeah. And I have to say that there were lots of people out there that were absolutely rabid over the John Titer story. They were incredible enthusiasts, in my view.
Most of those people
subscribe to Wired magazine. I don't know, but you know, it was a phenomena back then.
The as far as the 5100 is concerned, that was the, that was John's whole mission. Now, obviously that's a pseudonym. That was not his real name. John Titor was not his real name. John Titor was sent back from 2036 to 1975 as a member of a U.S. Army unit called the 177th Temporal Recon Unit. And you can call me just TR for short. Just to, you know, temporal doesn't really roll off the tongue too well. Anyhow, he was sent back as a member of this unit to recover the IBM 5100 computer, which came out on the market in 1975. Now, what made the 1975 IBM 5100 computer so interesting to the mission planners of 2036 was the fact that it had a little quirk that was suppressed and then obviously not included in follow-up iterations of the computer, and that is its ability to be able to translate or speak, so to speak, several different computer languages, these mainframe computer languages. Now, I'm going to throw it out there that I am by no means any kind of computer engineer or anything like that. All I have to go on is basically what John told us and then, you know, back it up with, is this true or is this false? And in the research, and it later became fairly well known that, yes, absolutely, John was telling the truth, that the IBM 5100 did have this capability that it could speak several of these different computer languages. Now, obviously, it begs the question, why does the Army have to send somebody back in time to pick up something so mundane as the first, because this really was the first, portable computer created by IBM in the world? And this obviously, you know, drug the story out of, you know, what awaits us in the future. And that is the nuclear exchange between the United States and Russia. And John told us that the infrastructure and a lot of the tools were destroyed in this nuclear strike. And there are a lot of infrastructure nodes that cannot speak to each other. And he said that you would be extremely surprised at how much of American infrastructure is based and is running on this old legacy IBM code that nobody ever bothered to replace. Because, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And so that seems to have been our Achilles heel, at least on his world line, I'll say, in that now after the nuclear strike, you have all these separate infrastructure points that can't speak to each other, and they needed a way for this infrastructure, these computers, to be able to speak to each other. So they sent John back to pick up this 5100 computer. Now, obviously, John was chosen specifically because he was related to the person, a key figure, so as he said, in the development of the 5100 itself. And
you need to say that this information about the 5100 was only known by a very small group of people, and it wasn't in the, you know, general milieu, wasn't out there.
It was absolutely not out there. No, not at all. Now, you have to understand, now, at this point in the investigation, we can't assume that John is telling us the truth. So in 2036, that's 61 years, you know, so how many computer engineers in 2036 would be aware of this computer? But now let's talk about, if he's not telling us the truth, if he's lying, how many people in 2000 or 1999 would have been aware that this computer system spoke these different languages? And the fact of the matter is that the engineering team at IBM was not, for the 5100, did not number in the hundreds like you would expect the world's largest hardware and software company to be. It was only 12 men. 12 men basically invented the personal computer at IBM. Now, these 12 guys obviously would have been aware that the computer spoke three languages, and maybe their team leader would have been aware, and their liaison back to corporate might have been aware, but they were instructed, according to John, they were instructed to keep this capability secret. Which seems to make sense in the fact that from a business point of view, why in the world would I buy three computers that speak one language when I could buy one that speaks three? So IBM instructed these guys, hey, keep that on the down low. Don't say anything about this, you know, the fact that you allow this computer to speak three different languages. And then fast forward 61 years, we've got a nuclear strike, and suddenly we don't have a solution to this problem. Now, another interesting little tidbit about the 5100 is the lack of an internal clock. Every computer that's made has a clock inside it that is always running and will always tell you the time. Now, John alluded several times in his posts about a Unix timeout problem in 2038. And I actually had to, you know, do a little research on this myself because, like I said, I'm no computer engineer, and find out what the heck is he talking about. And sure enough, he was right that, and this is obviously, this is common knowledge to anybody that's in computers, into computers whatsoever. And that is that, yes, Unix does have a problem in 2038. Just like, that's exactly what John said. And what it is it's similar to the Y2K problem. But the Y2K problem was resident inside of applications. This problem is resident inside the operating system itself. Now, what's interesting about what makes the 5100 interesting is that not only does it speak these three languages, but it also it would not be affected by the timeout in Unix in 2038.
Okay, we're gonna go to a break very shortly here. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot. We're talking to TR, Temporal Recon, about John Titor, and we'll be right back after this break.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Weekdays.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one.
Okay, this is Terry Cassidy, Project Camelot Radio, and we've got so much going on here. It's actually quite exciting, and every time I think there's going to be a break in the information flow, a bunch of crazy stuff comes my way. So I have to say that it's a lot of fun being part of Project Camelot at this time and place. At any rate, we have Temporal Recon, or TR, talking to us about his book about John Titor. And let's just continue where we left off, which was we were talking about that IBM 100. And if you can continue with that, I guess you were kind of finishing that.
Sure. Story. Yeah, the one other quirk about the 5100 that obviously did not make it into the subsequent iterations, like the 5110 and the 5150, and obviously became a mainstay in every computer that we own now, is it did not have an internal clock. Now, because I can't explain why the engineers did not include an internal clock. And I would love to be able to sit down with those guys and just ask, you know, these silly questions like, hey, I see you missed a key component of a computer. Why did you miss this? But it is what it is. And the computer did not have this internal clock. And I just a little bit about myself is that I have spent the last 20 years in defense, and I have a good understanding of how mission planning goes. And because of this, I can see from a military standpoint how the mission planners would see the 5100 as the answer to their prayers, because this is essentially two birds with one stone. Is that not only does this 5100 computer able to speak all these different, not all these, I mean three different languages, but it also, remember, this is 2036. If we're to assume that John is telling us the truth, that Unix timeout problem is only 2 years away, and they have a way around it. Now, I can understand, you know, why this 5100 would be essentially their holy grail, and they would expend such time, energy, and expense in sending him back. Because obviously, you know, this 5100 would not be affected by the Unix timeout problem.
Right. And it's actually, though, a piece of brilliant programming, isn't it, to leave the clock out?
Well, I would say this. At that early stage of computer development, I would say personal computer development, portable computer development, I see it as maybe, you know, they might not just have had enough room to include some. It might be something stupid as that. It's like a practical, look, well, you know, we can't fit everything in this little box. What are we going to, you know, what can we do without? Well, maybe, you know, maybe we do without everybody knows what time it is. We don't know anything. Maybe, you know, they didn't need the computers at that time. And obviously I'd never operated a computer with keyhole punch or, you know, with those punch cards. But, it might have been something as prosaic as that. You know, I have no idea. I don't know if it were on purpose or by accident, or, you know, some engineer forgot to, you know, cross a T or something. It could have been something stupid like that.
Well, okay. Now you've just sort of added a piece to the puzzle here, which is to me quite interesting. You say you work in defense.
I used to. I for about 20 some years. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so you're not you know, you're not sort of uneducated. You're not just a techie who has a love of computers necessarily that brought you to this story. In other words, I'm interested, how does working for defense, maybe what aspect of defense, if you're willing to say, and did you ever get into the whole time travel? Because there has obviously, you know, there's a lot of defense, and this is Project Camelot you're talking to, that involves time travel. And so, you know, was this more than just a pet sideline?
No, I understand. And it was it this the book was written really to give my friends and then obviously the world at large a heads up and basically provide the evidence that John could not provide at the time. And John was constrained by his own rules. He was not going to tell about this, that, or the other. You know, these. But I wanted to provide the evidence to people who either did believe and didn't know why, you know, because there's always something that rings true to a story, you know, innately, you know, and sometimes you just don't know why you believe a thing, but you do. You know what? This rings true in my mind and my heart. I believe it, but I don't know why. And the book, I wrote it for these people. Like, look, this is why this rings true. Look, you have all this string of evidence that you could not or would not find before. And right. For the debunkers to finally.
But you're actually avoiding my question. So does that mean that you're not?
No, I don't mean to avoid your question. I guess I take a long time. I probably could have written the book in 10 pages if I knew how to speak briefly. But I don't work for defense any longer. My job in defense over those 20 years was basically to answer questions people had, find answers to questions that people had, you know. No, I was never involved in any kind of time travel program within the military. I would say this, and the only reason I bring this up is because of the last show that you did, I think it was New Year's Eve. I had a chance to listen to it tonight, and you had,
Sean David Morton.
Yeah, Morton. Who is also he's a remote viewer, and I did not do any. I'm trained in remote viewing. I was not trained by the military. I did it on my own, but I was intrigued by remote viewing when I found out that the military was doing it. And I remember hearing about remote viewing back in, when did it come out? 99, 98, and maybe earlier than that. Doesn't matter. And I blew it off. And finally, when I found out through my own contacts within DOD that, yes, remote viewing was a real program and here's the guy who ran it or whatever, then obviously I took it a lot more seriously and I went and learned it on my own. I did not use remote viewing in the research for this book. As a matter of fact, all the information contained in the book was obtained very easily. Anybody could have found it if, you know, if they had the time on their hands. And, but anyways, about Sean David Morton, it was incredible the things that he was predicting that I was listening, because obviously when I hear predictions, I always bounce it against the things that, John told us. And because obviously I know, and I've provided the evidence in the book, that John was truly a time traveler, a man from 2036 who came back and posted online for a couple of months. And so obviously he spoke about a few things and a couple of the predictions that I made, you know, specifically about 2012 and Obama's presidency, et cetera, that when I heard Morton saying the exact same thing, that really, because obviously anybody who comes to me and says they're a remote viewer, I know that I can assume that their information is at least relatively accurate because I know that it's real and I know I've done it myself. And when this other remote viewer, Morton, came up and said that, yeah, you know, you're going to have a water-related issue at 2012, which is exactly what John told us. You're going to have an issue about the president in 2008 who will not be reelected. You know, that's exactly what John told us and that's exactly what Morton said. It was incredible hearing the echoes of John 10, 11 years later. It was really something else.
Oh, that's fascinating. Well, I have to say, I myself am a self-taught remote viewer, and it does work. And I've had verification of that. I had a lot of fun with it at one point.
I love it. I haven't done it in a long time, and that's another reason why I didn't really bother using remote viewing in the research for this book is, one, all my questions were answered in the research that I did. There really wasn't too much more that I could have found out with RV. And another thing is that I hadn't done it in so long that I don't think I would have trusted my data very much. You know, I'm out of practice, so.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. So do you want to talk about, I mean, because your book is divided in some different areas, and I think it's interesting the way you sort of subdivided it and how careful you were in you're extremely well organized and analytical in your thought process, let's say, and yeah. You kind of went down a lot of very logical trains of thought, and you kind of fleshed out each area and figured out why some of the assumptions that were made were wrong by people that were participating, let's say, and skeptics, let's say.
Right.
And then at the same time, you know, what I'd like to have happen here, you know, if you just take the listening audience and you take them as at this juncture, they're going to be skeptics, right?
Yeah.
Especially since maybe I don't even know if we're going to have people out there who know. And we will open up for the last half hour to allow for questions from the audience. So that should be a lot of fun. But we do have time. So why don't you go through the logical train of why it's convincing, if you can itemize those particular things?
Well, I'll say this. Because of my background, I was forced to be analytical, and it was my role to not necessarily convince somebody of something, but to show my work, so to speak. You know, if I'm coming to a conclusion, I have to be able to show why I'm coming to this conclusion. I can't just say, oh, you know, let's say Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, and then just walk off. You know, I have to show my work, so to speak. So that's the premise that I took with the book. Is that, okay, well, I understand that there are a lot of skeptics out there because, quite frankly, I was one too. I completely blew it off in the beginning. But the overarching, obviously the Segway thing was a big deal. Another thing, and if you take the posts in totality, the story that he tells is so internally consistent over 6 or 7 months that it's really hard to keep that kind of consistency when you're interviewing or interrogating somebody. You know, if you're talking to somebody over a long stretch of time, that's why in the cop shows you'll see, you know, the interrogations where a police officer is asking the same question 15, 20, 30 times. Well, there's a reason for that. One is fatigue, and you're trying to get that person to trip up and mess up his story. Well, John never messed up his story. You know, he might have had a typo here and there, and people caught him on it immediately. But, you know, but there was no – his story overarching was completely internally consistent. And not only was it internally consistent, and I'm speaking holistically. I'm speaking about the story in toto. It was so unnecessarily complex if it were a lie. And what I'm talking about this is I'm talking about the multi-world theory that John says is true. Now, obviously, John says that multiple world theory where there's an infinite number of universes is true. It's not necessarily a theory anymore. It's actually a fact in his time, or it's a known fact. And then he goes about and he talks about how do you travel through time and how you have to travel back one timeline and then you end up on a different world line and you're basically hopping world lines. And then when he's describing how, in order for him to get back to his own 2036, he has to go backwards and basically retrace his steps. And in the posts, he was very specific about this. You know, he had no problem. He was very well versed. And this is obviously to say nothing of his science, his knowledge of science and physics. I'm not one to judge his physics because obviously I'm no physicist. But just his story in general was quite astounding in its complexity and his ability to maintain that complexity over time. And usually somebody who's telling the truth, somebody who is well aware of what he's saying and is not inventing it as he goes, so to speak, that's indicative of somebody who's telling the truth. Now, other real interesting little tidbits that really kind of piqued my interest and put more evidence on the side of him telling us the truth were the times when he would go against what you would expect somebody to say. Now, I go through in the book, it's like, okay, well, if somebody wants to convince you of something, right, then you want to try to figure out what his agenda is. If he's telling you a story, what is his agenda? Because once you find out what his agenda is, then you can pretty much determine that this guy probably is feeding you a lie. Now, one thing that really kind of stuck out for me was was when somebody asked him, should we be stockpiling weapons? Now, this question was asked when John, after John had described a second American Civil War. Now, the second American Civil War on John's world line, or at least John said, it started in 2005. Now, whether that's a misprediction or it's a purposefully misleading prediction or whether it's the absolute truth, according to John, we can't tell. But
We're going to go to break right here. We'll be back after a few minutes. This is Project Camelot with the Glory Radio.
If you want the best in engine protection and need to go the extra miles between oil changes or worry about your car in the heat, you need AMSOIL, the original synthetic motor oil guaranteed for up to 25,000 miles or 1 year. If you're looking for a twice-a-year oil change, try our lower-cost XL Series 7,500-mile oil. See the whole line of automotive products and support American Freedom Radio at the same time. Just go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. You'll be directed to the store. So for the best in fuel additives, gear oils, innovative greases, just about everything for the fleet, use only AMSOIL. And get there by visiting AmericanFreedomRadio.com and clicking on the link. It's made in America on the shores of Lake Superior in Superior, Wisconsin. Preserve your cars, save fuel, and help American Freedom Radio grow. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. Is American Freedom Radio.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Okay, this is Jerry Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. Love Hendrix. Okay.
I know, bumper music. Apropos nothing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So where were we when we just kind of got interrupted right there? You were kind of saying how the story in itself had integrity throughout, and how he stuck to his guns basically, and that gave it a certain integrity, and said that he was telling the truth as he knew it anyway.
Right. So, you know, to somebody who might not be trained in interviewing or extracting information like that, then yeah, you know, I can see where. And obviously, this played out over 6 months. I had the luxury of looking at it all together, you know, and I had 10 years of perspective to be able to apply to this. Now, so I was able to look at it holistically and get a general sense of the guy, I think, of John. But the one thing that I was going to say that really kind of stuck out for me was when somebody asked him about stockpiling weapons. And I include this in the book is, you know, this is not your typical Michigan militia man. You remember in the late 90s, you know, there's a big thing about the militia movement and the Michigan militia and stockpiling weapons and, of course, the Waco and Ruby Ridge and all that stuff. And so obviously if this man's agenda, John, let's say, if this man's agenda is to start an insurrection or get people to start fighting back against the government, then what would you assume his answer to be? You know, you would assume, yes, absolutely, move to Michigan, throw up some walls, hide in the woods, stockpile guns, and, you know, take pot shots at cops. You know, that's what you would expect somebody who would be some sort of, you know, nut to say. But John, interestingly, did not say that. He went in exactly the opposite direction. John said, and in capital letters, no! Exclamation point. No, don't do that. You're only going to attract undue attention from the government. Don't do that. There'll be plenty of weapons around when the time comes, which obviously leads me to some really interesting questions because, you know, I'm curious, how does it happen? What are those signposts that we need to be looking for that to know that we've got, you know, things are really going to happen, let's say in a week or 2 weeks or something like that, and who fires the first shot? That one question was not asked, and I would have loved to have known the answer to that. It wasn't Lexington and Concord anymore. I would have loved to have heard, you know, how it actually all started.
Well, I have to say, you know, we were talking offline there that I have had a dream. I have dreams of the future, and I don't share them that often with the public, but this is an opportunity to actually say that I did have a dream of the future in which the United States was broken up, and that there was a sort of a rebel group of which I was a part in this dream, which is kind of bizarre.
well, maybe not.
And I was actually in an underground base, and they were about to bomb Hawaii. This is not a pleasant idea. And I was upset. I've been to Hawaii and I love Hawaii. And actually, their reason for bombing it, they weren't even revealing it to the people who were in the lower ranks and so on. But the actual reason for bombing Hawaii was not because of any surface individuals that they were at war with, but because there was an underground ET base there. That they were going to bomb.
An interesting little aspect, yeah.
It was very clear to me in my dream that faction of which I was a part was located somewhere in and around Colorado, and that it was a break off from the normal so-called the Union, if you will.
Right.
And that there was, I mean, I actually saw it kind of like a map. There were other smaller factions. This was a rather, in other words, there were two opposing factions that were rather large, and then a bunch of smaller groups at that time. Now I don't know, you know, this could be in a completely different timeline. It's nothing that really relates to my reality at this time, so I wouldn't put a lot of store in there, but it is interesting that John Titor talked about this, and I can tell you that I know somebody who's involved in the militia movement, a couple of people. And,
right.
You know, their point of view is that we're very close to being on the verge of this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Close. I think a lot of people don't even realize how close it was. I was really surprised at how vehement, because I could kind of see things coming, and when the healthcare debate started happening, and remember all the hometown meetings where people were really getting in, people were taking notice and actually dressing down their representatives in public on film, and I was thinking to myself, so is this how it happens? Is it healthcare that is finally the match that lights the powder? And you know, that seems to have, you know, at least gone to sleep for, and I won't say sleep, you know, obviously it's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds, but you know, you don't see people screaming at their congressman right now. But I will say this, and I would say definitely pay attention to your dreams. And the only reason I say this, because I'm kind of marrying the two facets of information that I have. One, obviously the hard factual information of John Titor, which I definitely stand behind, as well as the remote viewing stuff. Now, when I was learning to remote view, I was informed of multiple world theory and how your brain or your mind or your self, however you want to characterize it, can hop world lines. There is no limitation there. And then when you're remote viewing, disciplined, your mind is not disciplined enough, your mind will go to the most interesting aspect of a target, not necessarily the target itself. And we're going to a break
here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back on the next hour with this same story, and we'll be opening the lines for questions.
Just give it the truth now. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth now. Just give me the truth now. All I want is the truth now. Just give me the truth.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says that it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. This man has made some outrageous predictions over the years, but the crazy part is that he's usually right. He predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner a few years ago. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. This has nothing to do with the stock market, but it could have a huge impact on almost every aspect of your life. And recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And here's a real eye-opener. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome. We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. We need to move the old out. Control is good. 5, roger, copy. 3, and 2, 1, engage.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Okay. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Temporal Recon, TR, or Anonymous, depending on how you want to address him. He's written a fascinating book called Conviction of a Time Traveler, and it is all about John Tidor. And this is a very interesting story, I have to say. So what we're doing here is we're opening the lines for callers, and let me see. I guess the phone number for people to call, I believe, is 402-237-2525. Hopefully that's the correct number. And so as the calls come in, we will try to answer them. TR, so maybe let me throw this out at you. I asked you offline if you'd heard of a book called Ong's Hat.
Yes, right.
And you said no. Is that right?
Right. I had never heard of it.
And Ong's Hat is a time travel classic for a certain group of people, I guess you might say, who actually go back a ways, but also were, I think maybe, you know, in other words, it didn't happen until there was an online world. So it's very wrapped up in the internet.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I believe it's a free ebook. If you do a search on Ong's, it's ONG apostrophe S hat, hat like hat, two words. It's a fascinating story, and the person who wrote it is Joseph Matheny.
Joseph,
you know
Matheny.
Who he is?
No, I've never heard the name. I guess I should, huh? Right? I'm going to look this guy up.
Yeah, this is somebody who you would love to talk to. And I believe, if I recall correctly, and this is many years ago, that he said he had met John Tidor. Now, I can't verify that, and I'm sure that if anyone's listening to this and does get in touch with him, because he's quite famous, he's absolutely brilliant. He's brilliant in the technical sense of that. He's an absolute amazing programmer. He can, you know, write codes and do anything under the sun, basically, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. He's considered one of the masters, you know, on the planet, basically, I believe, in terms of that. Yeah, I'm serious. He worked for Microsoft for a while. He left there, and after that, he got involved in all sorts of things. And we got involved in pitching some television and movie projects, one of which was involved with Peter Moon and the Montauk Project, which is a time travel saga in part. And so it's all very interesting. But Ong's Hat is about time travel, and it's about a second Earth and an access point in New Jersey, of all places.
Sure, and of course.
It's a saga that is great fun to follow out, and wonderful art as well. And at any rate, that's the author of that. And I would encourage people to go find that book online. I'm sure it should still be out there. It's been a few years since I looked for it. We're going to go to a short break here, and then we'll be right back on a long segment, and we can take some calls.
Great.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP freedomfiles.com.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says that it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. This man has made some outrageous predictions over the years, but the crazy part is that he's usually right. He predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner a few years ago. In fact, Barron called his work a dire prophecy. This has nothing to do with the stock market, but it could have a huge impact on almost every aspect of your life. And recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And here's a real eye-opener. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com.
If you own a jet ski and are tired of paying $40 to $50 for a gallon for two-cycle injector oil, it's time to switch to AMSOIL Interceptor. AMSOIL's Interceptor injector oil not only will save you money, the engine will run cleaner and cooler. The OEM oils lack in quality. Choose AMSOIL for all your applications, and you will feel the difference. Here's how to save money on your power sports products. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. Once you're at the site, choose the preferred customer option and see the direct wholesaler price. AMSOIL will send American Freedom Radio a commission based on your order, and you beat the OEM's price. You deserve to have some fun this summer. Choose AMSOIL for all your equipment and enjoy more trouble-free service. AMSOIL is the leader in synthetic oil and filtration. Tell your friends about AMSOIL and AmericanFreedomRadio.com today.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are going to be taking phone calls this last half hour of this show, and then, well, actually, the part that is with Temporal Recon, and then we are going to have Bill Deagle with an update for the very last half hour. But at any rate, we've got somebody holding on the line here, so I'm gonna try to attempt to take that call, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So let me see if this works. Let's see. Area code 416. You are on the air with Temporal Recon and myself, Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I want to know, I'd like to mark the time. The time is 11:11. And what's the date today?
Isn't very
today?
Good.
Yeah. So what's today, the 5th, right? Okay,
yeah,
I'm kind of trying to be as succinct as I can, because I know that, Carrie, you might be tough for time here. But just so that if you're looking at your time, could you just give me how much time I have? Because I'd like to be respectful and just be very quick. And I can make a point, a very sharp point, if I know how much time I have. So, can you kind of give me a rough line? And I'm looking at the clock here, so I know how much.
I'll ask
a question. It's a very specific question, and I'm going to get straight to it. But I need to know how much time I have to build my case.
Yeah, depending on how fascinating you are, let's say you have more.
Time. Oh, really? Okay, how fascinating?
You have more time. You have 20 minutes.
Sure.
We have to turn over the show to my next.
No problem. I can be very fascinating in a very quick amount of time. So I'm supposed to call you, how do you want to be referred to us?
TR for short is easy.
TR? Okay. Okay, TR. I find it very interesting that after 2 days of Bill probably getting one of the most I don't even know. I don't have words to put it in. I think it's so fascinating that it could even be the single most important interview conducted up until now. And I want to say this just for the record. I think that Bill and Kerry should be commended just for their sheer tenacity and just for their unyielding desire to cut the crap. Because, you know, and I'm not making this accusatory, but I just find it interesting that the single most interesting thing that I found on that particular interview was that our good friend Charles, and I don't know if he's really a good friend, but just like you want to be called TR, I'm going to loosely refer to him as a good friend because, you know, he's trying to take a step in the right direction. And I think he did that when he said that we're supposed to be stockpiling food because apparently what is coming, and that's undeniable, is famine. One of the, you know, four horsemen, if you will, and so forth and so on. And yet 2 days later...
The majority of people died from starvation than gunshots.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, at this point, if we're talking about people who have no heart whatsoever and who have advanced to such a degree where they think they're so wise beyond the rest of the people who are simply trying to say, I have a heart, I have a soul, I have my, you know, my the things that I want to do with my life, I don't really think that it matters how you choose to annihilate a civilization. I mean, simply just disguising their language and bastardizing a language that was once a language that was a galactic language that we could communicate with anybody in any solar system, anywhere in our known and unknown universe. Anybody who takes away that from a natural, biological, evolutionary civilization is an act of, it's a criminal act. And it doesn't matter which way you slice it. So I'm going to say this. I just find it interesting that 2 days after one of those monumental interviews I've ever heard, and I've heard my share, that someone such as good as yourself, and as good intentioned if we were to believe that you are good intentioned, that you should be talking about stockpiling weapons. It's just an interesting, you know, little thing that I've noticed, because I can talk for hours, see? I could tell you about my life and things that I've experienced that would put Warner Brothers drooling at the mouth. But I won't do that.
I'm by no means advocating stockpiling weapons. Maybe you might have misunderstood what I was saying. Absolutely not. And what I said was, is that I expected somebody who might have an agenda, who might be lying to us, and that agenda being overthrow the government, et cetera, that when somebody, you know, followed up with the assumption of, oh, well, then I suppose we should be stockpiling weapons, and then John vehemently said, no, do not stockpile weapons, I thought that was interesting because that went against... And I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. That went against what I would have assumed somebody with an agenda to have said. You see what I'm saying? So his
yes, I do. And since I know that you're going to have a little bit more airtime than I have, I do want to say that I did understand you, and I did understand what you mean when you say that. But let me just go on to say this, is that we might be having a small dialogue here, which in the big picture is the one thing that is missing from any journalistic channel anywhere in the world. And I've lived in a few places in the world. And what is the key thing here? What is the key thing that doesn't seem to be going on anywhere? And that is that, in fact, it's dialogue. It's the fact to say that, you know what, I've had residual effects from our good friend Charles that I can go on the air and tell you that I've had dreams that I have here with my partner that say, how the heck could this guy be talking about things that I see in my sleep? So if we want to be talking really and put things on the line here, you know, it's really interesting that you don't know who's listening. Nobody knows who in the corner of the globe is listening to these interviews so closely, in fact, that it's sending ripples down every spine of the individual who claims to take the designation to usurp the power of the one source and to say that if you don't pay your bills, you won't have food tomorrow. No one has the right to say that. No one has the right to take away life. The only person that has the right to take away life is the person that gave it. And no one here can say that they have that right. So I'm just going on to say that how is it possible that what is showing up in mine and Carrie's dreams are slowly manifesting down into the agora, or into the market, into the where we get agoraphobia, where people are so afraid that they won't even leave their house anymore or answer their door because they don't know who's knocking? Can you please make a comment on that, please?
I'm not sure. I really don't know if I understand your question. How is it possible that the things that we're dreaming or imagining could happen are happening now?
That's correct. Not only happening now, but in such a way where we have Charles here on just came on 2 days ago saying that he has dreams of, or not dreams, things that he has some kind of synergistic
Okay, I understand. Well, I will tell you this, is that there's a school of thought that says that we affect everything around us. There's a school of thought that says that we create the reality that's around us. And then again, there's another school of thought, and they might not be mutually exclusive, that allows for our consciousness to be able to go forward in time, to go backwards in time. Now, I'm not saying that's how John did it, because John was very specific in how he traveled through time. But what I'm saying is that your consciousness is not necessarily tethered to your body at all times. And if it is possible to transcend your world line on a conscious level, as remote viewing has shown us is capable of doing, and then... Well, then the fact that you're getting information on a conscious level or subconscious level in your mind, in dreams, et cetera, in visions, then that's not necessarily totally unheard of.
Okay, then how about this? How do we know then that you're not just part of the same agenda feeding us the same garbage?
Well, you don't. All you have to do...
No, we don't. So this is why I think true dialogue, to get to the heart of the matter, is really important. Because personally, I'm not saying that I'm discrediting you at this point, but I'm actually asking a question in all earnestness, without any aggression towards you as a person. If my tone is in a way, I'm just saying that I stand true to certain things.
I get excited as well. So, and people mistake my enthusiasm for anger, and so I understand.
Right, and I appreciate the fact that you can recognize. So in closing, and I don't want to take up too much time here, so I just want to say this, is that I find it very, very interesting and very fascinating as you like, that at this particular time we would have such diametrically opposed, and not only opposed, but parallel double agents going back and forth, tethering whichever timelines that you wish, to go on to say things, and I can go on the record and say a few things, maybe not in this area, but maybe in future time where, I would have a little bit more experience to speak with experience, that it would be just very interesting to see
I'll deny to my dying today that I'm some sort of double agent for the powers that be. You know, that I am just a man with some critical thinking skills who went through John Titor's posts and did a little bit of investigation and wrote a book about it. That really is, it's really as simple as that. And if you're worried that I might be trying to espouse some agenda or something like that, I followed the facts where they were, where I found them. The trail was actually laid out in front of me.
I mean, this story goes back to, I don't know, 2000. I believe 2001, I'm not sure the year. But the fact of the matter is that it's one of those supreme, if you want, coincidences or synchronicities, that I had this individual scheduled for this radio show, and shortly a few days ago, I don't even know if he's familiar with Bill's latest release, the Rulers of the World. TR, did you happen to see that interview?
No, I did not. No.
Okay, so he doesn't even know who Charles is, all right? So, but that's, it's one of those things going on. I have a great interest in time travel. Time travel and multiple timelines is a really important ingredient in what's happening on the planet right now. And for people to start widening their view and start understanding that there are multiple timelines happening simultaneously. And I'm hoping that our guest can kind of bring that to the fore. So thank you, caller, very much. Do you want to give your name at all or anything, any kind of...
Well, Carrie, what I'll say is this, is I'll get in touch with you if you would like to. And I have before, and I know that you're inundated, and I don't take any personal, that you can't get... I don't want that.
Sure.
I won't give my name at this point because I think that the things that I want to touch upon are just two. But, I mean... I just wish that you continue your work in good health and safety at this time. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't know if you were present at the beginning.
Thanks a lot, caller.
But we are basically going to try to do an interview with Bill Ryan, and hopefully there'll be another interview in the future that I may try to be part of, if that's even logistically possible.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are. So,
okay, then I just want to make one quick thing in conjunction that might help you get that interview with Bill and might help you even get an next interview with Charles. I might be able to say something on air about that. is that if you want to be able to be respected for these people that supposedly Charles is talking about, I can tell you this, and I think it's safe to say without putting myself or anybody else at risk, is that there's a general in our America, as we call it, there's a general not disrespect, but a how could I put this? Not a higher or a highest regard for tradition as possible. And I think that maybe, just maybe, because Bill has that, he has a something that, and I don't want to take away from anybody else, but why did they choose Bill? I'm not having worked that out, but it would probably help us to really use absolute, what they call just true. Listen to Charles spoke of Arthur C. Clarke.
Right here, I appreciate that, but I don't feel that there's any mm-hmm. issue with regard to that. So I'm going to thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, of course, no problem.
Okay, so let's see, TR. We've got a few minutes left. Do you want to sort of try to wrap up? We've got about 6 or 7 minutes. Hopefully, we can get something in here. In terms of the overall story and maybe helping put this in some kind of context for the listener?
Well, the context is all around us. All you have to do is just turn the news on and see what's happening around us, to see what John was describing in general terms is happening to us in very specific terms on a daily basis. The purpose of the book was really, and I spoke to you offline about this, is I don't think I'll be writing another book. The book really is... its purpose was to let people know that sometimes, you know, information comes to people different ways. And, you know, there's different ways to, you know, people accept different means of information coming to them. Some people need it to be on CNN. Other people need to hear it on a radio program such as this. For me, you know, I'm very analytical. And I'm by the numbers, so to speak, sometimes. And when I'm looking at somebody 10 years ago predicting YouTube, for example, you know, voice over internet or these other things, but he didn't call it YouTube, but he was definitely talking about entertainment over the internet at a time where it was virtually impossible, that, you know, I had to take a closer look at it, and it rang true to me. And the book really was just to give people that evidence that they needed to understand, and if the information to them, the warning comes to them, to start preparing, because the status quo is going to be changing, then the book has done its purpose, you know, to convince them that, yes, at some point in 2000, a man came back, talked on the internet for a little while, and told us about a civil war and a nuclear holocaust coming. And it was just a little bit of research that I did was worth, you know, what do they say? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, you know, when a gallon of gas happens to be in a gas can in the back of your car, and when your car runs out, that gallon of gas, which has been sitting there idle for the last 3 months, is suddenly now worth gold, and you can get to your destination. You're safe. You know, my whole point is get that gas can now.
Okay. Thank you very much, TR, and I thank you very much for writing this very fascinating book. And I encourage everyone to go to the Facebook page, which is linked at the front on projectcamelot.org. You can give out you want to say your Facebook, the name of the Facebook page?
The Facebook page, obviously, is Temporal Recon, and that was just the identity that I chose. The Facebook page for the book is Conviction of a Time Traveler. At Facebook, and then obviously the website itself where you can pick the book up is convictionofatimetraveler.com. And also, I'd like to mention that to further discussion, real intellectually honest discussion, I've created a forums page, and it's nothing fancy, but I'm interested in real honest dialogue about John and his postings and the things that we see around us. And it's the John Titor Forums. There's a link there on the website, convictionofatimetraveler.com.
Wonderful. Well, what I'd like to do is have you back on the show, because I think this subject is still, you know, there's a lot more to it.
There really is.
I think it'd be a lot of fun to explore more. And you know, we had a lot of limited time here, as always, on a radio show. But I think it would be great fun to go down a lot of different avenues.
Oh, the rabbit hole goes deep, Carrie. It's incredible. I just had to, I couldn't, I had to stop, specifically stop writing. Because if I would have never published the book, because things keep coming out more and more and more, and I just had to arbitrarily decide, okay, I'm going to stop writing now and finally publish this, because there's just so much out there.
Now, I don't know if we have time, but I'd love you to talk about...
You all right over there?
Yeah, my voice is going right here. I'd love you to talk about what you told me on the break.
About the Ultraviews.
Yes.
Ultraviews was a term coined by a user back some years ago. And basically, and I like the term, it describes how an event happening, but you remember it happening differently. And it's essentially deja vu in reverse. And I even had to ask, what is this person talking about? And and this person described it for me and what it was. And I experienced an Ultraview just the other night.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL advanced motorcycle oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get free of harmful chemicals in your lawn, garden, or farm. Use the products proven to work and restore vigor to your important food crops. Increase hay yields, as well as oils in seeds and grain. Check out AgGrand Natural Organic Fertilizers on our website, liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Learn how AgGrand's liquid organic fertilizers reduce costs while increasing yields. The products work great as a foliar feed and help offset problems caused by poor soil conditions. Call us at 1-800-579-0580 for more info. Converting to organic is fun and easy and is the best choice for your heirloom seeds. Take advantage of our liquid lime, sulfate of potash with kelp, liquid bone meal, and the menhaden fish 433 loaded with micronutrients. If you want better tomatoes, visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That is liquidorganicfertilizer.com for your garden, lawn, and farm.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Up your head and you ask, is this where it is?
Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones?
Hello, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're just wrapping up with my guest, Temporal Recon TR. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, great. What we're going to be trying to do is bring Bill Deagle on for the last half hour here. So I do want to say thank you very much for being on the show here with me. And
thanks for having
John
me, really.
Tider. And I'd love you to come back sometime in the future.
I would love to talk about him some more. Absolutely.
Wonderful. And so if there's any parting words that you'd like to say, just for the record here.
He was for real. It's really quite that simple. A man using a machine traveled back 61 years and met us in 2000. And he brought with him a small warning that didn't really matter to him at all because he was from a completely different world line. But I researched it and found some really startling facts. I mean, it's really quite that simple.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you again for being on the show with me today, and let's do this again soon. And I invite everyone to go out and buy your book and to go onto your Facebook page, and you are linked on projectcamelot.org for everyone who's listening. Thank
Great.
You again.
Thanks again, Carrie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and hopefully we've got Dr. Bill Deagle on the line with us here. Dr. Bill, are you there?
I am indeed.
Lovely. Well, there's so much going on, and you and I have talked offline briefly, but I didn't even have a chance to call you back today, and I really do apologize. I was in meetings up to the last minute, and I did get your message, however. Do you want to talk about some of the things that are going on behind the scenes with the reshuffling? Is there anything to report in that regard?
I don't have anything concrete final yet, although I think that they want to have a dialectic of some internal conflict because their real plan is they want to bring in a new financial order. I believe they want to do that this year. I believe you'll see the Soros interview recently that's on the Internet. They want to gradually devalue the dollar and then bring in China and then bring in the G20 currency. But the basket of currencies is going to be based on a carbon footprint global currency, which means they're going to try to change the very structure of the world economics in one fell swoop. So we'll get a global currency, and then you'll get regionalized currencies probably this year.
Oh, okay. I know that I'm sure that you've been hearing also about the dead birds. And
yes, in fact, I've been looking at some reports. I just got a report from one of our news anchors on my TV channel, Tim Alexander, and he's got a number of postings on it. The dead birds are probably due to geomagnetic or piezoelectric effects or HARP. They could be either one. What's happening is basically they're either disoriented and dive to the ground, or they're being knocked out by HARP signals or a piezoelectric surge from the Earth that's causing ionospheric effects that kill the birds.
Okay. Now, what about the situation with the death of the individual that was associated with this? The European Times is, I have to say for people listening, that it is not necessarily a reputable newspaper, in my view.
Right.
And so we do have an issue with that article that has gone out and gone all over the Internet, and people are sending it and forwarding it over and over again. Do you have anything to say about what they're saying there, which is alluding to a bioweapon and the death of, I forget the guy's name, I'm afraid.
Yeah, usually you mean like a bioweapon like avian flu. I don't think when you have spot areas like this and it hasn't spread to a larger population, it's very unlikely. It's more likely it's something like an energy weapon or it's the release of piezoelectric energy. Like we see the colored lights above an area when there's a great earthquake, like the one that happened a year ago. in off of Chile, where they had an 8.1 earthquake and they saw lights in the sky above. The same thing over Haiti. Those plasma energies can actually knock out birds, or even beforehand can disorient them so they can dive toward the ground. So my guess it's either due to HAARP or it's due to piezoelectric effects, because the Earth is starting to really is going to start rocking and rolling this year. And by next summer, it'll be evident that anybody with a backyard telescope can see the approaching Nemesis dwarf star in the southern hemisphere, in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and any place south. So I think that we're looking at a combination of probably weapons to try to modify the climate. And on the other hand, I think that we're starting to see some major Earth changes that are going to really speed up in the next 6 months.
Okay, and you do have new evidence, don't you, of the Gulf Stream?
Yes, we got a report last week after 5 months of meeting with Dr. Zangari, who's very conservative. He's the Dr. Gianluigi Zangari, is a PhD from the Frascati Institute. He works with NOAA, NASA, and a number of other institutions around the world. And he came out finally with data indicating that the chlorophyll pattern based on satellite analysis shows that the Gulf of Mexico is functionally dead, which is a dead zone. And I watched a documentary the other day about the rise of the jellyfish. And, of course, we now have millions of Australian jellyfish that are now filling up the Gulf because normal fish can't live in low-oxygen environments. So there were scattered dead zones across the Gulf of Mexico. Now it's basically becoming one giant dead zone. So that means that we're having a major dead zone there. The other thing that we have is I've had reports from BK Lim and Tom Termato. There's four rigs out there at the Macondo drill site, each $1 million a day, and they're capable of drilling down 30,000 feet. And the ocean floor is still breaking up and still releasing oil and hydrocarbons, and they still have ROVs down there, and they're still spraying Corex at 9500, which is an exfoliant genoneurotoxin. So the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico is by no means over, and they know that this is the Interior Department of the United States. BP, of course, is a designated supplier of fuel to the U.S. military, and 82% of the military fuel that's used by our Air Force and our military comes from British Petroleum. So it's a national security issue as well.
And my evidence was also that there is a volcanic activity down in the Gulf.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that volcano that they actually broke the fault line in is connected indirectly to the New Madrid fault line system, and it's incredibly likely that there'll be a major earthquake in the next several years in the New Madrid system right now. And the dead birds, part of the thing that can cause dead birds and dead fish, et cetera, is not just which occurred around a number of places around the world. In fact, I got a report of so many places, it's crazy. So it's not just piezoelectric energy. It's very likely the release of toxic gases.
Let me tell you that I have a whistleblower who actually gave me that same information in regard to the fact that these dead birds are not just falling in Arkansas, that it is
all over the world, yeah. And I got an email of reports today from the inside all over the world of birds and fish and all kinds of sea life all over the world dying.
Will interest you to know what this particular witness told me, which is that there are areas where there is nuclear fallout or radiation that's natural to the Earth.
Right.
And that's been building up in certain areas that the governments are aware of, and that this time they are making use of that energy that has been hidden, I believe, under the Earth. And
right.
They are actually doing tests. And that's why these animals are dying at this time, because they are using that energy as a directed weapon, and that this is a test.
I don't have any corroboration of that, but I do know that when you have, when the earthquakes that occurred over in Sichuan, China, there's sulfur and other gases that come up, just like in Christchurch. There's been 500 minor earthquakes since the big earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand, just last year. And these toxic gases come up, and they can kill birds. Birds are very sensitive to toxic gases. And if a burst of gas comes up and hits, it rises very quickly, the birds literally get disoriented and literally drop out of the sky. That's why canaries are particularly sensitive in a mine shaft, if they're in a coal mine shaft. So you can kill birds very quickly. You can have a canary, for example, near one of these nonstick pans, and if you heat it up, the fluorocarbons that come off the nonstick pan will kill canaries even 20 or 30 yards away. So birds are particularly sensitive to toxic volatile gases like methane and other toxic gases that may be coming out of the earth during a time when earthquakes or volcanoes are going off. And similarly, fish, it does the same thing. So if there's a major vent of toxic gases in the ocean, it'll do the same thing. So my guess is if you hear hoofbeats, it's more likely horses rather than zebras. And so until I have other information, there may be experiments because they're doing it all the time, high-energy sonar, directed energy weapons, all kinds of things. But when you get this distribution all over the planet, my guess is it's probably planetary wide distribution and loss of gases, which many of them are radioactive, or they have a combination of a soup of very toxic chemicals, and they don't need to persist very long in order to kill birds or fish.
Right. Okay. Now, in terms of what's going on in behind the scenes in regard to the dollar, do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure. The word that I have is that they're planning a controlled descent of the dollar until they reach a critical point. Right now, the word that I've had from Dr. Richard Charles Norton and from many other sources is that there's a conflict going on, whether or not there's different factions. Some want to actually use war as a means to rescue the U.S. economy. And if further the Rothschild International Monetary Fund, Federal Reserve Bank of International Settlements Plan, the rising empire of China and the Asian countries, particularly China, is wanting to play ball. They don't want to go to war. There are factions within the U.S. military-industrial complex that want to go and other factions that don't. And the Chinese have basically said, if you don't play ball and let us in to have an exchangeable currency, we'll just continue bilateral arrangements, which they've done with Brazil, Argentina, and now Russia with the giant pipeline from Russia. So they're making bilateral arrangements rather than having a global exchangeable currency. The plan that I hear that's brewing is to bring the Chinese yuan into a G20 to devalue the dollar considerably and to repost this currency where the dollar won't disappear, but it'll be backed by a basket of currencies that will stabilize the world financial markets. But the yuan will be considerably more valuable per the dollar, and the dollar will probably drop to about a third of its current value. That plan is to do that descent slowly. The Chinese were apparently threatening that they were going to do it quickly, and the response of the more aggressive factions within the U.S. government was that we will declare war on North Korea, and i.e. China as well, if you try to do that. So there's a number of places where your Indians have just lined up 36,000 troops a few weeks ago before Christmas on the India-Chinese border, and the border between India and Pakistan is very hot right now, and there's increasing plans by the Russians in their new Syrian naval base, which is the largest naval base now in the Middle East, built by the Russians in Syria. So they're getting ready. They're lining up their markers for a future war. And I think that's why Netanyahu is so determined to have peace, because they know that if they don't have peace, there'll probably be a rocket war with Hezbollah in Syria attacking Israel, and the only response Israel can have is a nuclear response. But it won't be able to counter the up to 110,000 rockets coming in with fuel air bombs, biological weapons, and chemical weapons. So it's a very dangerous time, because the financial markets, there are a faction that thinks the solution to the world financial crisis is to start a war, but no war is winnable now, because even a proxy war will expand into a global war. So I think the cooler heads are trying to prevail, including in China and America, and the internal battles are moving toward a G20 world currency probably sometime toward the summer.
Hello. Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Should be back on the air with Dr. Bill Deagle. Dr. Bill, are you with us?
I am indeed. I hope that last little dissertation or rant, they heard it. I think the key thing people need to realize is that I see a number of things that are going to come in 2011. The first and most significant is economic. The second is famine. We have the climate shift. We're heading, and this is the coldest year in Europe in 222 years at least. There, in some reports, there could be the coldest year in 1,000 years in Northern Europe. We have the increase in volcanism and earthquakes around the planet. And in all the historical geological record, the volcanoes in Iceland always have a significant major explosion after the sequence that they've already had over the past 2 years, which are plutonium volcanoes with the highest fluoride concentration on the planet. And that also will accelerate the development of this mini ice age into a full-blown ice age, which could take some decades. But in the meantime, we're going to be having climate shift and famine. And then, of course, the death of the oceans is very evident, which is increased by interoceanic volcanism and the release of toxic gases. So we're going to have a number of issues that I think will converge this year to force, as Gerald Celente says, the survivalists and the preppies – to go mainline.
I hear you. We don't have very much time here, and I appreciate that, but I want to ask you about this John P. Wheeler III, who it was the former assistant to the Air Force Secretary, who was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a consultant to Meter Corporation. He was found dumped in a landfill. And
Yes, I read about that.
Okay. This is very interesting in light of some of the goings-on that are happening around the White House that have to do with various factions that are really vying for control of the government at this time, and I'm just wondering whether he is a casualty of that process.
It could well be. I think that my guess is the corporations and the military are involved in the decision process. It's not simply the White House alone. I think there's factions within the White House, within the Clinton and Hillary and Bill Clinton versus Obama. And I know that Biden is not really well-liked by Obama, so I have a feeling there's a number of fault lines, if you want to call it, that are occurring there in the power struggle as what the agenda and what they're going to do. My guess is foreign policy is probably being taken over more and more by Biden from Obama, because Obama appears to be a novice and not understand the very dangerous times we're in, because we're on the verge of a number of flashpoints for a regional war. And the economic and currency wars that are occurring with China now, China doesn't want to go to war, but they want to have some real moves towards the financial stabilization of America. And the latest QE2, which is soon going to be QE3, and the behavior of the U.S. Federal Reserve makes it very difficult for the Chinese that are holding many trillions of dollars of bonds that are soon to become worthless if they do a major devaluation of the currency. So it's a Mexican standoff, and there's likely to be candidates that are going to be cannon fodder for the internal battle.
Okay. Can you look at the situation at all and say maybe predict an outcome, number one? And number two, my understanding is that the Joint Chiefs of Staff are involved in...
Yeah, I heard that, too, from other sources. They're also preparing for a number of disasters that are not in the control of any government. They're including the probability of a coronal mass ejection sometime in the next 3 years, major famine, and we have now also the confirmation that there are a double gene changes now showing up in Australia and now the U.K., where you can't get an intensive care bed for a child now in the last 2 weeks in the United Kingdom that develops acute respiratory failure from H1N1 flu. So we have the third wave of the avian flu, of the swine flu, now on full swing, and it's jumping now to Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Europe. And so we're probably going to see in the next 4 months the evolution of the third wave of the flu that's going to cause also a great deal of panic, on top of the fact that if there was an attack on Iran, which is still on the books, and with the stale date of fuel happening in April or May, then if they did attack, the Iranians have the most advanced biological weapons from former Russian scientists who were hired 19 years ago. So there's a lot of very dangerous issues that are cooking right now on the timeline. And I think we've averted a lot of disasters, but my best guess is what we'll do is we will muddle through this with a very poor response to the swine avian flu. And then by the summer, the catastrophes will get gradually worse, starting probably in February or March, where I think it'll actually turn into brawls in the Congress with broken noses and bloody noses and fist fights. And eventually I expect that they will, with the duo of Rand Paul, Senator, and Ron Paul, and Daryl Issa and the movement of the new Tea Party Republicans trying to dismantle Obamacare and change the course of the financial issues, a number of states are going to start to become insolvent. Like in California, we had the notice today that the $28 billion deficit, simply a great deal of it, be transferred to local, state, and municipal governments, which isn't going to be doable. As a result, we're likely to see insolvency of bonds for a number of states, countries, including Europe. And I think that the meltdown, especially when the Republicans get control of the Federal Reserve, they're likely to force them to stop loaning money to European banks. It's floating Ireland, Italy, Spain, and Portugal. And we're likely to see a financial meltdown in Europe and a number of states. So I think by the summer it's going to get hairy. And then by the fall, we expect that we will have a doubling or tripling of the cost of food and fuel. So we're going to be hit from many sides by a number of catastrophes, and I believe that is probably the best of the possible timelines. The worst is a nuclear terrorist activity.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you here. We don't really have time for that litany, but I do thank you very much, Dr. Bill Deagle. Thank you all for listening. This is Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. Please visit our website, projectcamelot.org, and donate if you feel so inclined to keep this work going. It would be great to have money to travel and interview more people. Thank you again for joining us, Dr. Bill Deagle.
The Nutramedical Report on Genesis Network, and check out our TV channel as well.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says that it will change everything about our lives, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. This man has made some outrageous predictions over the years, but the crazy part is that he's usually right. He predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner a few years ago. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. This has nothing to do with the stock market, but it could have a huge impact on almost every aspect of your life. And recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And here's a real eye-opener. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com, endofamerica4.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results with your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Leading to a multi-orbit.